Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
There, then might want to turn my mic on. That might help. Ah, Jesse, how are you doing?
Hey, buddy. Nice to see you.
You as well. You have a good week?
I did. It's been pretty good. My parents have been in town visiting.
Oh, that's right.
They were here for about 10 days, and they just left yesterday, but we had a nice visit together.
Enjoyed. Did they watch your little
skits?
They
came to see some of my skits. Well, I didn't do a lot of skits and sketches, but no. I did one show, the Tonight in San Diego
right.
talk show thing on that Monday, so they came to see that.
Okay, did they enjoy it?
Not really.
No?
No, not particularly, no. I don't think they like me being the sidekick off to the side at the podium.
Yeah.
You know, they liked the episode that I guest hosted last season a lot, and they thought that this wasn't as good.
Okay.
And nothing against the host, but I think it's just because they're my parents.
Right, of course.
So.
That's funny.
They're very sweet.
Did I see a picture that you were in a dress?
Well, it was sort of a makeshift dress. They were doing a fashion show based on like a real celebrities' fashions, and the idea was this is how to do it for cheap. So it was like loofahs and towels and shit like that. It was very embarrassing.
Yeah.
And I didn't write that bit. So
I wouldn't think you would.
No, I didn't write myself into let's look like an idiot.
Yeah. That was I was surprised to see.
Meryl did that for me. Thanks, Meryl from the belly up. Appreciate that
there
so much.
Go.
Thanks for putting loofahs on my tits.
Name dropping. I did a lot of stand up this week.
Yeah, you did. You got on fire. What did you have? Eight shows?
I got eight
days?
Sets in this week.
Isn't that a movie?
Well, I did Saturday too. So actually, I did nine sets in 7 days.
Jeez.
Yeah.
You're on fire.
Yeah. But next week I have to work, so I won't be able to do it as much. But,
you just do it at work?
Pretty much. Yeah. Monday I did three. I did Heart Lounge, Madhouse, and then, Stats.
Heart Lounge I've never been to. How's that?
There's no stage.
It?
It's in the middle of the downtown, but
it's downtown.
Not a good area, really. It's a weird place to have a room just because there's really no walk-by traffic there other than homeless people.
Okay.
So it's not the best location. Hmm. So it was just mostly comics. There was a couple I had never seen before.
Okay.
So I did that, and then I went over to Madhouse and let me go first on the open mic, which is good because they do the open mic after the show.
Ah, yes.
So there was a pretty good crowd, so I was like, I'm just going to do stuff that I know that works. So did pretty well for the, you know.
How much time is that open mic? On
five.
Okay.
Five. And then I went over to Lestat's because I went there before to try to get it's a random drawing. You get to pick your time.
And that's the music and.
Yeah, but I was the only comic there.
Oh, wow. So everybody else did music.
Yeah. So I got there and they're usually about 20 minutes late. So I got there, my 9:30 spot. I ended up going up about 9:50.
That's Tuesday
or no, Monday?
That's Monday.
Yeah. And I followed two pretty good looking girls that sang. So I was like, yeah, you got to enjoy two good looking girls. Now you got me telling dumb jokes. So. That immediately, they made them like me.
They like
so
them.
5 minutes, it was good.
Cool.
Yeah. And then Tuesday, you know, that's the roller coaster of comedy.
Ah.
It was the competition.
It was the contest, eh?
And, the only time in my life I was unhappy to see Dan Venti.
I
could see that.
That's he probably appreciates hearing that at least.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't a personal thing, but.
No.
Meltdown on stage or what?
No, I had a meltdown when I saw him there because the rules state you can't switch dates.
Yeah.
And he swapped dates. So I told.
They're like real strict about the rules on the.
Well, I am. Like, I'm strict about when there's $4,700 up for grabs.
Yeah.
I think you should follow the rules.
Right.
And he tried to say something like that wasn't, but it blatantly is breaking the rules. And at that point, I said, I'm not going to be involved in the contest. Even if I was to advance, I was done with it. So I opened up my set with, is there any comics in the crowd? To which nobody says anything. So I said, you guys don't know anything about comedy. Most of you probably aren't funny. So there's no sense of you judging us.
You started punishing the crowd for what had happened.
Yeah.
As far as but they didn't really know they're there to judge necessarily as much as to enjoy the show.
No, they're judging.
Were there also judges?
Yeah, that weren't comedians also, which the judges are supposed to balance the fact that these idiots don't know anything about comedy, and then they're supposed to have actual comics. I don't know who they were, but they had a rapper after the show.
Oh.
So it was like total clusterfuck, and I'm just happy to be done with it.
Did you judge the rapping?
Yeah. No, I left immediately. I almost left after my set, but I was curious.
Let me wait and see what happens.
Just because I had nothing else to do.
Yeah.
If I had somewhere else, I went and did till two after that.
Okay.
So, and that went well, you know.
Yeah.
But it's not like I was upset with comedy, but I was just upset with the bullshit.
Right.
Like, just follow the rules. Just follow the rules.
I find the contest to be too stressful overall, and that's why, you know, I said last time that was the last, you know, no matter how it ended up, you know, a couple of us were like, we can't do this again.
Yeah.
It just makes you too upset. And it's not worth it, even for money, I don't think, personally.
No, I mean.
That's just me. I think for, but that's because I've done contests for like 4 or 5 years in a row.
Right.
And after you do it that many times, it's like, wow, I just can't take it anymore. But I do think it's a good thing when you're, you know, coming up and, you know, that competition can bring out the best in people.
But I've been doing comedy 6 years now. Like, I don't need the stage time, you know, per se. So yeah, I was just like, I'm done with it. Like, there's just too much money for them just not to take it seriously, you know? But then Wednesday I did the store and the crowd was blah.
Yeah.
But Albert's doing this joke about how he's on rooftop comedy now, which anybody can be on rooftop comedy, but you know.
You mean that's his new credit?
Like, yes.
You could
check me out on rooftop comedy and Hulu. So he does this creepy set as always. So I go up after Albert. I was like, you can check Albert on rooftop comedy, on Hulu, on Megan's Law. So
absolutely. Isn't one of his jokes like, you wake up with a woman, they got a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Like, why am I tied
up? Who are you?
Who are you?
Why is there popcorn in my hair?
It's so messed up.
So.
Oh my God.
But yeah, I had fun with that.
So what was Wednesday night?
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually did go up Wednesday. I did the wood. No, I didn't do the wood. I did juice.
Juice. You said it was a little slow.
It was a little slow, but it was very fun to get up again. You know, even to do 8 minutes, it was fun to like, you know, I tried one new joke, which was fun. And then I went to the wood and watched this guy, Brent Tobler, headline, and he was excellent. I thought he reminded me of Billy.
Okay.
Sort of storytelling, understated, kind of perfect for the wood. He was terrific.
Okay.
I thought. So,
yeah,
that was
that's
the only
good.
Show I really had this week.
And then,
we did one since last night.
Yeah, Thursday I did the store again, and it was really a good crowd. So I did really well that night.
Was Lou introducing people?
Yeah,
yeah. I always loved that.
So that was that. And then Friday was Winston's, and it was pretty decent. I wasn't sure how it was going to be.
Right.
I had a feeling there'd be people because Strider Dennis was on the show.
Yeah, I had to talk to his beeps.
But they came in. They were real rowdy.
Uh-huh.
But they settled in. There was a good way.
They loved the line, you know, when I said, how many people are here to see Strider Dennis? And I said, yeah, we love Strider Dennis. We book him every time he's out on parole.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
They liked that.
That was
they actually like. Even Strider came up and was like, yeah, like, you got me. That was good. I like that.
Yeah, he came in the showroom. So, yeah, I mean, my set was okay. They were just really talking. And when you're up there, that's all you can hear is them talking.
That's true.
So, but people came up after and said I did well. But,
yeah.
Like, when you're on stage, all you can hear is the talking. So.
It's sometimes that you don't hear the laughter, but it's there. It's just under the talking somewhere.
Yeah. So, but either way, it was fun.
It's a lot of shows in a week, man.
Yeah.
So,
it's good.
I mean, have you noticed anything different? Are you structuring your sets differently? Or are you still sort of flowing with it? I noticed you used the closer last night. And so it seems like the sets are maybe a little bit more structured than how I've seen you in the past, where it's like even you. I like you. You've been sort of planning your sets out a little bit. That's why I asked you last night. Can I see that set list to see what?
Yeah, but I mean, I don't always do. Because there's just two new jokes that I want to work on that I keep forgetting to do.
Yeah.
Which is one that I don't think I'm too old to join a gang now. Mostly because I don't think I look good in blue or red. And then it goes into like another reason I don't think I could join a gang is because I was really bad at art.
Uh-huh.
And like, I just can't imagine, like, you have to tag something to get into the gang. And I'd be like, I could do all the beatings, but I don't know if I could draw with the spray paint.
The spray paint art is what's stopping not the violence in the street crime.
And then just going into the whole act that, like, how emasculating, like using
shaking
spray paint
the
is.
Spray paint can.
Like, I'm going to rock this hood. And it's just, and then just to shake it, and like two of them at the same time, two spray paint bottles at the same time.
Do they have an initiation, do you think, in the gangs where they're like, all right, I can tell you're hard. I saw you stab that guy to death, but how's your art?
Yeah, that's when they, that's
what's your paint game like?
And I wrote that. I still haven't. I keep forgetting to try it.
I think that's funny.
And then the other thing is about that woman really control the world,
mm-hmm.
and then going into like because of the pill, like the pill is called birth control, like
mm-hmm.
they control whether or not we have humans. Like that is total control that they have.
That is a lot of control.
Yeah,
I
so,
like it.
Yeah, so those are the two things I haven't tried, but no, it's just like the new stuff that I've been working on that I've been trying to just.
It's always more fun. Like the two new bits I did last night that I thought did work out of the four that you know I did, I tried. I think it's like, you know, you're more enthusiastic about the new stuff.
Yeah.
You sell it a little bit stronger. So even if it's not the greatest, it's like you do better with the,
right,
when you're really feeling it, you know, like after we tell a joke enough times, we're sick of it and they can sort of sense that.
Surprisingly, that the horse racing, I'm still not tired of it because it's a fun joke.
It's so fun.
It's a fun joke.
That's the thing is when you have a really fun closer, like to me, I get a little tired of it, but then every time I do it, when it works, it sort of revitalizes
right.
it a little bit. You're like, okay, well, at least it's
then I did a joke I haven't done in years about that Indian style sex.
Yeah, I haven't heard
I haven't done that in like
gave
three...
a polio.
Yeah, so yeah, that's an old joke. Well, we're almost gonna
crap.
We should bring in our guest.
Yes, we have one
is
minute.
Is it Jaleesa?
Oh, yeah.
Jaleesa. All right, Jaleesa Johnson, everybody.
Jaleesa.
Yay.
Thank you for coming in. Sorry
for
making you
me.
Wait so long.
No worries. I was enjoying the conversation.
Oh, good.
It's... Did you have any shows this week?
Actually, I only had a show on Sunday at Aces, and
okay.
I think, I'm pretty sure I have a show tomorrow.
Pretty sure?
Yeah.
At Aces again?
No, this will be at Dragon's Den for Dat Fan.
Okay.
Ooh. Yeah.
He's there all weekend.
You better be pretty sure.
Yeah.
I think he's going to ask you to promote quite
a
bit, isn't he?
I'm like 98% sure.
Yeah.
Does he knock you off if you don't bring people?
Well, I'm bringing people.
Okay.
I've already sold tickets, so.
Okay.
But yeah, I believe he does. Like, he gives you the option to, like, quietly leave.
Yeah.
Know?
I'm 98% sure you don't get up if you don't bring anybody.
Really?
Yeah.
He was at Lestat's the last 2 weeks, just
was
hanging
he?
Out.
Yeah. He didn't perform?
I don't know if he performed. I wasn't there the whole show, but he was just hanging out.
Huh.
The mix mic?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I thought that was weird. I don't know if he went up.
Oh, yeah. I know he does Lestat's a lot.
That was the first show I ever saw in San Diego. It was Dat Fan, Whitney Cummings, Mark Serratella.
That's a big show.
And it was awful.
It was?
The crowd hated them.
Oh, that's...
And I remember messaging Whitney on MySpace saying it's comedy like that all the time.
Right.
And we'll find out what she said. You'd love it. Listening to WSRadio.com. Worldwide Leader Talk. We're live at 3:05.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, we are back, second segment. So, yeah, I messaged her on MySpace.
Did Whitney Cummings get back to you?
She did. She
on MySpace, she
yeah,
got back to
she
you?
Responded. This is before she was big.
Okay.
I mean, this is 9 years ago. And she was just like, no, it's not always like that. If you want to get into comedy, you just got to go ahead and do it. But
uh-huh. That's nice that she responded.
Yeah, but I messaged her on Facebook a few years later saying, hey, I got into comedy, and it looks like you're doing great, and she didn't respond
She's
to
like,
that.
Like, who?
Yeah. So
maybe you should go back and message her again on MySpace.
Yeah.
See if she responds to
see
that.
If she's back on that.
Do you guys remember your MySpace passwords?
I went on a couple of months ago.
Really?
I just like
it
to
still
check.
Exists, right? Like, our MySpace is still
it's
there.
All, it's like,
it should still be
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it's
oh my
still
God,
there.
It's going to be all old videos and all, oh man, it'd be so embarrassing.
Yeah.
Top 8.
I was on MySpace before, I was on Facebook before I was on MySpace.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. And then I got MySpace when I moved out here. I wasn't even on Facebook.
Huh.
Facebook was big in Maine. Well, not big, but that was a thing in Maine.
Uh-huh.
No one really did MySpace.
It's like college kids on Facebook when it first
yeah.
started. Yeah.
But I was
like
in college and you were like 4.
Yeah.
So.
Which
is still in the womb.
Warm.
I remember MySpace, you know, where everyone bedazzled everything. It was glittering.
It's even worse now.
Is it?
Yeah. It's even more like
it was
futuristic.
Like going, yeah. It was like Vegas or something,
yeah.
You know? And then you'd go to someone's page and it would immediately start blasting some kind
right.
of music.
But it
I had
good
my
music. That was like powerful.
It was good. I thought my music was great, of course. So I keep going to my page just to listen to that stupid song, you know? But you'd go to someone else. And if you're at work or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it like comes blasting through.
There'd be a few times where like I'd be on the radio and it like the computer was the station. So like I'm searching the internet and somebody's MySpace and it goes over the air, the MySpace music. So I think you were able to like turn that off or something.
I don't know.
So.
But it still exists. They didn't shut that down. So it's still there.
I look at like my old exes, like. MySpace profile occasionally, like once a year.
You stalk them
so
on
weird.
MySpace?
Know,
yeah, not
great.
Even Facebook. Just
that's
MySpace.
Not like current stalking. That's like, let's see what they were doing 4 years
it's
ago.
It's really strange.
Yeah, it's interesting. So how long have you been doing comedy now?
A little over a year.
Okay.
About a year and 2 months.
Okay. Yeah. You started down here and then you...
I did, yeah.
Went up to L.A.?
I did here and then Houston, then L.A. and then back here.
Okay.
So you're from San Diego originally?
No, New Orleans.
New
actually.
Orleans. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What brought you to Houston?
Katrina.
Okay.
Good reason.
Yeah. Very good.
Well, you went from here to Houston?
No.
For comedy.
Well, at least
so
it was dry,
family,
you know?
Yeah. My family's still there.
Okay.
So, this past summer, I went to live with them for like 2 months.
Okay.
In New Orleans?
In Houston.
In Houston.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can see how this is confusing.
Okay.
So born in New Orleans, moved to Houston after Katrina, then moved to San Diego, then again to Houston, then L.A., then back to San Diego.
Okay. Well, how's the comedy scene in Houston?
It's getting better. I think since I've been there, even now, it's like way better than it was then. Like way more mics, way more clubs. But they're not exactly welcoming. Not as bad as L.A., but, you know, they're very clicky.
Okay.
And
You're a girl, because you're black?
I think because they're, like, obviously, there's a core group in Houston that you can see everywhere, and they're kind of the only clique, but it's so prominent that it's, like, I think of Houston as a whole.
Are there comics that you remember their names from that clique?
I do.
Okay.
Yes.
I know a couple Houston comics. I'm wondering if they're big there or if
it's someone that, you know, like, they're really established, then I think they're probably the nice person. It's really, like, semi-new comics that are really good, really fast, that are kind of a little
shaggy. Could you get up most nights?
Yeah. I mean, they play by the rules. It's really just a matter of sending off, like, good vibes, and they don't.
Yeah, okay. Not friendly.
Crew. Exactly.
And when you were in L.A., did you see there were similarities to that? Or
well,
is
L.A.
is
just kind of
a...
like every man for themselves.
Right.
Less cliques, more, like, individual. Like,
yeah,
So I prefer L.A. over Houston, but I prefer San Diego over both.
Okay.
So how was your L.A. experience?
I worked most of the time. I didn't go up more than 5 times in, like, 3 months. And that was just because, like I said, I didn't really feel like I knew where I would fit in, and that's a big part of, like, where I go. But also, I worked, like, 40, 50-hour shifts, like, a week.
Where were you?
Not shifts, but, you know, like, I was working at Google.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but, like, a project for them. So it was kind of like Amazon, where you would buy things online from their mall.
Okay.
And we deliver it within, like, 2 to 4 hours.
You still work for Google?
No, I quit.
You did?
I did.
Must have been a pretty lucrative job, I would imagine.
It was the easiest money I ever made, but it was also really time-consuming. And I usually don't stay at jobs very long. Like, I've had over 25 jobs.
Okay.
In my entire life. Like, W-2 jobs.
And you're how old?
22.
That's pretty amazing.
It's, you know, amazing and also very concerning.
Is it? So why did you leave? Did you get a better offer from Bing or something?
No, I wish.
Was it like, ask Jeeves to pay you
exactly
more?
Exactly what I was thinking.
Enough, a lot of Google employees were from Amazon and vice versa.
Okay.
So I considered trying to do that, but my resume is just a whole lot of fluff. So I was like, at some point, someone's going to be like, what are you doing here? You
You've
know?
Been to every job for 2 months.
This is yeah, it's about
it's like when Kramer gets fired from the job he doesn't work at. Did you see that episode?
Totally.
I don't really even work here. That's what makes that even more difficult.
I like the one where George gets fired, but then just shows up again to work, thinking if he just shows up, no one's going to say anything.
That's a real thing that Larry David did from Saturday Night Live.
Is that right? Yeah, have you ever done that? Julie's have you ever shown up after?
I have been fired before. I've quit more than I've been fired, but I've shown up like knowing that I should be fired. And then realizing I'm not on the payroll anymore, like during my lunch break.
So you worked half a day.
Exactly.
Before.
And then I just walked.
So they got half
away.
A day's work free out of you.
Yeah. And that's happened before. I have this thing where if I quit, I probably won't even come back for my paycheck. I'm just so over it. I have really like weird disorders. Like,
what's the
anxiety,
best job? Have you enjoyed any of them, or you've just kept jumping 25
jobs? I've enjoyed
jobs?
Some, but I've never been passionate about it.
Okay.
So the best job I would say was my last job, which was basically an administrative assistant for an audio video services company.
Okay.
And I like opened the shop, closed the shop. It was a lot of responsibility, and I liked that more than anything.
Okay.
Yeah. So I wasn't bored because I had everything.
So why'd you get fired from that one?
Yeah.
I quit. I didn't get fired.
Why'd you quit a job you enjoyed?
I wasn't qualified, and I realized that. And he was even willing. No, I'm not kidding.
That's for them to find out.
At a certain point, I realized that if I keep it up, then I'll just, you know, be way in over my head.
Do you do that in comedy too? If things aren't going well, do you just walk off
stage? Not anymore.
Just not even say your
name. Or if they're getting good laughs, right, and like, I'm not worthy of these laughs.
I have those moments.
You know,
I'll walk out of a mic.
I'm in over my head here. I know this is going well and I'm enjoying it, but goodbye.
Definitely.
I'm not coming back to get paid either.
I'm not proud of it.
That's funny.
But yeah, it's the way I've always been.
Is your goal to be a professional comedian? Is that
absolutely
the job that you really want to do?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What aspect of it? Do you want to be a touring comic? Do you want to be an L.A. like movie star kind of person?
I think I'd be a great comedic actor.
Okay.
But I'd be totally fine with touring. I'd prefer that over something like SNL or some kind of sketch show. Just because I feel like whether I'm writing an entire hour special or if I'm writing a movie because I would want to make the movies I'm in, there's just total control. Like, I'm a control freak.
You are.
Sense. Yeah.
So. Are you going to quit the movie halfway through?
Probably. I made a joke with my girlfriend about this. Like, I used to want to be a lawyer, and I could just imagine myself just walking out of the trial. I'm just like, I can't take it anymore, like kicking over briefcases.
You don't just break up with your girlfriend every week, do you?
I do, but she's really good at not letting that happen for much longer. Almost
25 times.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't count how many times we broke up.
Is that true?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
You fight a lot? Is that what happens?
No, we don't fight a lot.
No, it's just you're like, I'm not worthy of this relationship.
That, or I'll be like, I just need to be like a young adult and experience things. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, understandable, like, concerns, but then she'll be like, all right, well, let's just do this.
Yeah.
You know, let's have a threesome. Let's go on an adventure. Gosh.
That's the way to keep your girlfriend,
it helps.
Right?
Yeah.
Just like, it's not going, let's have a threesome. Okay. I'm staying.
Is that how she wins you back?
Not always.
Because like, you're both bisexual?
Yeah, and we're monogamous now. So we used to be more open.
Uh-huh.
But then we got bored. And so we moved on. And now we're at a point where I'm leaning towards that again. So we're
leaning towards?
I like the idea of like polygamy. But not in like a million relationship sense, just like having a lot of sex.
Okay.
Polyamorous?
Well, people think about that and think about falling in love with multiple people. I can't see myself doing that. That's like way too much. But sex is just sex to me. Mm-hmm. So if I could like be with someone and do that, that would be ideal.
Right.
But she doesn't want to anymore. So we're finding ways to like.
How old is she?
She's 22.
Okay. So you're both
actually
young.
23. Yeah. Just had a birthday.
You guys gonna break up because you've got your age? You've got her age.
But we'll get right back together.
Okay. That's interesting.
You ever been in a polyamorous situation like that, Jeff?
No. I was trying it.
You were trying it?
But it didn't, I couldn't do it. We both thought we could handle it. No, I don't care because sex for me, I can have sex. It doesn't do anything. Like I have no emotional connection.
Yeah.
But I don't want to think about them having sex with other people.
Right.
You know, unless I was there.
How do you guys not have any feelings? I mean, for me, it's like I could kiss a chick and I'm like in love immediately. Like,
well, I've had sex with a lot of chicks I didn't kiss.
Huh. So, really?
Yeah.
Even during the act, you
Correct.
Don't kiss them?
Correct.
Why? Because they don't like kissing or you didn't?
I think kissing is almost more intimate than sex.
It can really be not intimate, though.
The kissing can be not intimate.
Because think about it. Like if you can, I mean, it depends on if you see yourself doing this, but like an actor, like hanging out with someone. I doubt that all these actors are falling in love. You know,
well, yeah,
like,
that's true.
It goes back to being a germaphobe. If they made tongue condoms.
You're sharing bodily fluid.
But I can wear a condom.
You're more comfortable with the sex part because you're still covered in plastic.
Yes, yes.
But you actually have to get into the tongue and that's your thrust.
Yeah.
I guess.
Interesting.
You do like a dental dam kind of makeout session.
You ever used a dental dam?
No. I don't know anyone that's used a dental dam.
I have plenty.
Have you?
Yeah.
What? Isn't it just a saran wrap?
I get them for free. It's just like saran wrap.
I get it for free. That doesn't answer my question.
What do you find about? I get them for free.
Do homeless people just here's a dental dam? What is that?
Gay people like the LGBT community, they always give out tons of
they do
stuff like that. Yeah.
And how big is the dam? I mean, is it
probably the size of a sheet of paper?
All right. Less. We're gonna come back, and I want to learn more.
We're
about
not even talking comedy right here.
No, but
this is.
Is it called a dental dam because it's for a beaver? Hey, folks, listen. Jeff.
Save it for the stage,
you
my friend.
Stop me when I
yes.
pun like that.
No, I don't even. I've never seen one.
I've never seen
one. Other than, what was that movie with Tommy Davidson that he had to use it?
Oh,
all right, listen to WSRadio.com, the world leading talk. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Bye.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, we are back. Third segment. So, comics talk dental dams.
Comics. Dental dam. Having a good oral discussion here with Jaleesa.
Hey, you watch it.
And we were wondering about the dental dam, if that's something you only use on women or if it's for men. And the talk in the break was that it could be for the backside.
Yeah, it's for both. And then we're going to move on.
Lay down a tarp when you're going to go back there.
Yes, yes.
Unbelievable.
So before the show started, Jaleesa, you were talking about a tour. Was this a comedy tour that you're planning?
Yeah, it's still in the baby steps, but there's five of us, all local comics, Raul, Danielle, myself, Richie, and you guys know all these people, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And my girlfriend, actually, she is going to start performing.
Nice. Where are you guys going?
We're going to Arizona and Texas.
Okay.
We're going to kick it off here with the Raul show, the cluster, since we can.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Cool. So Arizona and Texas. Not, I wouldn't think very LGBT friendly areas. Am I wrong?
Or minorities.
Or, right?
The
last two places you'd probably.
But have you connected with venues?
That's what we're actually doing today. So we're at a point where we've been at it for like 3 or 4 weeks of planning.
Uh-huh.
And we finally got all the videos together, all the images, and our pitch. And we're going to send some emails, make some calls
today.
That's
awesome. That's going
to
be so fun.
And do you have people in those areas that you'll be able to bring to the shows?
Yeah. So we've got 3 local pools. Danielle has 2 in Arizona. I have 1 in Houston. And then in Austin and San Antonio and Tucson, we're going to probably stick to like a local headliner and then just.
How fun. That's awesome. So a couple weeks or what?
One week. Yeah, it'll be a short one. So we're going to pretty much perform every day.
And you're going to get a van or something to all travel in? Or,
we're going to get a rental car. We're not sure what kind.
Okay.
Yeah, we've got some discounts, but we wanted to obviously book first before we looked into that in depth. But, I mean, it's all in the works.
It sounds
like a plan to sell any merch?
Yes, we're going to sell T-shirts.
Great.
Yeah.
Do you know what the tour is going to be called or what the T-shirt is?
Yeah, we have a theme. So we're actually partnering up with Feeding America San Diego.
Okay.
So it's called Will Joke for Food Tour.
All right.
And we're going to collect like cans and things along the way, donations.
Okay, cool.
And use them for press. So.
And then for merch, you're just going to sell like a bunch of dental dams too? At
that would be
show?
Yeah, that's an idea.
That's actually kind of a good idea.
It's not a bad idea. Come on.
With your names on the dental or your faces.
Like Raul's face.
Especially because like how many people really own one? They'd be like, oh, I've always wondered what the hell that is.
I'll probably just give them away if that's the case. Start a little booth.
Have everyone in the front row wearing one during the show. Like in the front row, we'll get one. Yeah.
I like that.
It's like a Gallagher show or something.
Yeah. That's...
One of our themes in like our photographs is a bib like in our shirt.
Uh-huh.
So they could probably use the dental dam.
Yeah, as
like
a bib.
I like
or
that.
With
multi-purpose.
The bib. Cover the whole upper torso.
I think just put Raul's face on it and be like.
That's perfect. That's kind of adorable.
Yeah. That's protection?
Basically. Yeah.
Oh, with that face. Oh. You can't not trust him.
Yeah.
I love that.
I'm just imagining his face.
So if we actually do this, can I like come back and like talk about it on the show? That would be great.
That would be, but you have to bring us some of that merch because we
need to see what it looks like.
I definitely. We've had people give us merch on the show before. We had Mark Christopher Lawrence give us hats.
Wow.
And we wore them. And so if you brought us dental dams,
I'll use it tonight.
Jeff's going to use it.
That's right. Deal.
Oh my God.
So were you a fan of comedy growing up?
I don't know. I don't remember.
She was too busy working.
I was too busy working.
She liked a comic for 5 minutes and then quit. Yeah.
Probably. That's kind of what it was like. I always loved comedies. They're still my favorites. But I didn't really think much about it as a career until I met Carla because she took me out on a date to Lestat's Comedy Night.
Okay.
And that was the first time I even considered it.
Like, that was a straight comedy, not the open mic, the mixed
that was the music show.
Open mic. Oh, that he was talking about. So there was the show, which is Tuesday night.
Exactly.
So who was performing on that one?
Flowers was headlining.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very funny.
I really loved how his comedy had a message.
Okay.
Because I've seen and heard a lot of like just comedy just because, and I've always loved that, but something about like bringing a message.
What was his message?
He was talking about how the, what was that school shooting, the little kids?
Columbine?
No, this was recent with the elementary school.
Oh,
I forgot, but it was really recent.
Sandy Hook,
there we go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he made a joke, and this is a bad example. He had way better messages, but he was like, I live in L.A., and everybody's always complaining about traffic, but they want, you know, they're sad about the shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Or something about, it was a population joke. Said it way better.
Mm.
But I couldn't help but laugh at that. And like I said, it's a bad example for a message, but somehow he like spins these really controversial things and something that I just can't help but laugh.
I see.
I tried to fight it.
Yeah.
And I think it just boils down to making people feel really uncomfortable is what drew me in.
How was the rest of the crowd enjoying it?
They loved it. Carla hated it.
Okay.
She did.
Yeah. So obviously, like, there's always that person who's going to be really offended.
And she was like, why are you into comedy now?
Exactly.
After seeing that?
She didn't want me to do it. She
really?
Said, if you do it, I'm going to dump you.
Really?
Yeah, and then we got back
and you
together.
Said, no, I'll dump you first.
And no, we negotiated. I didn't want her to be at my first show.
Okay.
And she ended up being there anyways. And
so how soon after you saw that show did you get on stage?
Oh, probably like 2 months.
Okay.
It took me a little while. Yeah. But
because she was against it, or because you were afraid?
I was going to do it regardless, but I guess that might have played a minor role. It was mainly just scoping out the mics and getting a feel for the people.
Did you have jokes already, or did you have to write them in that 2 months?
I had to write them. Yeah. I rushed them. My first set was
everything
ridiculous.
About killing children, or did
no,
you
No, it was no? about, like, the government shutdown, and I made okay. some, like, reference to an Xbox. Like, shutting down the government is,
the
like,
red
throwing
rings
out your Xbox. Yeah, it was just really stupid.
Where was your first show?
It was at Heart Lounge, the mixed mic.
Okay. Oh. That's Saturday night?
Friday, actually.
Friday.
Yeah, so this was before the comedy show.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how wasn't received well?
I got laughs, but I don't know why. I still have the video, and I'm just like, they probably felt bad for me.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that.
That's cool.
Yeah. Do they have a good crowd, or anyone? Or
they actually had a really good crowd. The Friday mics bring in a really interesting
group. Who runs
people.
The Heart Lounge?
When I first started, it was this, like, older white gentleman who I don't see anymore. Mm. Forgot his name. But now Sacked Cameron... What did you say?
Sacked Dave.
I doubt it. I think I've seen him.
Yeah.
And then there's Cameron Frost doing the comedy show now. But someone else does the mic these days, and I just haven't been there.
Okay.
He came to Winston's a couple weeks ago. He's young. He's like 20. Uh-huh. So big hair.
Oh, you haven't seen Cameron?
I'm sure.
Yeah.
No, Cameron.
No, it's weird going to all these open mics now that I haven't done open mic for, like, years,
yeah.
You know, and seeing all these people.
It's a lot of new comics.
That you never see. You
right.
know?
Got to stay on the finger on the pulse of the
right.
scene.
And know? They don't even know who I am. So no. it's interesting.
That's weird.
Yeah. Well, I mean, people that don't go to Winston's, you know, and right. then I'm never at the store on Sundays.
Yeah.
So how am I going to really see open micers, you know?
That's true.
So.
Probably important to keep doing open mics forever just so that you can get booked by these new people that are booking shows.
Yeah, that's what, you know.
That's, I didn't think about that, but that's probably
my mindset, but, yeah, I mean, we don't have that many. We used to have, like, a lot more new people that would come to Winston's, but there's not as many new people that come by.
Yeah.
Know? Which is surprising considering it's been pretty decent this year.
It has been good.
You know?
Yeah, I thought the show last night was not bad. I mean, like you said, there was, like, that sweet spot in the middle that was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then everyone left kind of after Strider.
Which was probably better because I was talking to somebody about it today, like, because they were checked out after Strider and his friend went up.
Right.
So the people that stayed actually wanted to stay to watch the show.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they were as chatty when Chris and Dustin went up.
No, there. I don't think they were either.
So I think they did fine.
Yeah.
But what's a typical week for you?
Netflix. probably not waking up until, like, noon or 4.
Nice.
Noon or 4.
Because I'm unemployed.
You're in between 25.
I'm in between,
your 25th and 26th job.
Exactly.
I see.
I actually,
what are you applying for right now? What are you looking at?
I look at everything.
Yeah.
I start with customer service.
Okay.
And then I, like, slowly lower my standards.
Okay.
So.
It's lower than customer service?
Yeah. What's worse?
What's lower than that?
Door-to-door sales or what?
No, I would never do that.
Uh-huh.
But I will do fast food because I have, and it's so mindless.
Where did you do fast food?
I've worked, you name a place, I've worked there.
Really?
Yeah.
Carl's Jr.
I had an interview yesterday. I didn't go.
You interviewed with Carl or his son?
Well, no. Oh, nice. Yes. Richie actually kind of took that interview from me. I kind of gave it to him, though.
You did?
Yeah, because I have a hookup there.
You recommended him for Carl's
Jr.? I have a Carl's Jr. hookup.
Sweet.
You know, you got to appreciate the little things. Yeah.
You can supersize it for us.
Exactly.
That's pretty
there are
awesome.
So many perks. But no, he interviewed when I was supposed to, and so I'm pretty sure.
Did you write any fast food jokes, like, from that experience?
Never, no.
No? Did you ever make a McRib sandwich?
No, but I did work at McDonald's.
You did?
Yeah.
Do you get free food?
I ate so much free food. I would come home with, like, 40
How are you so
nuggets.
Thin after eating that?
My metabolism is ridiculous.
Yeah. Do you work out?
No.
You don't?
No, I have a membership,
I just smell
I have a membership, though.
I have a membership. Like, no, that's unbelievable.
I go to the gym every single day. If I didn't, I would gain so much weight. Like, I don't have a good metabolism. Are your parents both thin?
They were my mom until she had her 5th child. Mm-hmm. She was like my size.
Uh-huh.
And my dad has gotten fat, but he was like super slim back in the day. But she lasted longer than he did.
Happens gradually.
Yeah.
Your parents, your mom is not alive?
No. I mean like the...
Oh, she lasted.
Not she getting... was skinnier longer.
Okay.
Not that it matters, but you know. They're both like... They're probably going to listen to this.
Oh, crap.
You know what? They know where they are. Yeah. I think they appreciate.
Are they still
the
together?
Yes.
Are they okay with your lifestyle?
Oh yeah. They encourage it to
That's
a degree.
Awesome.
Yeah. Like I used to make this joke about how my mom came out for me, and it's true. She was that kind of person. My dad's just like, whatever.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
That's great.
So they're in Houston.
Yes.
Okay. So how old were you when you realized that you were?
I was a freshman in high school, so like 14.
Uh huh.
Yeah, but I guess I really knew in like.
That's when I realized I like girls. Was
yeah, that's you way. For sure.
Yeah, right. For then, I was positive.
So at first, was it just girls?
No, I've always been bi.
Okay.
Yeah, I play the lesbian card when it's convenient.
Oh yeah,
what does
yeah.
that mean?
What is that card like?
Just a dental dam.
Only girls are around.
Dental dam for a card.
I look better, I think, in a more tomboyish like style than feminine, and like lesbians love that, like femme lesbians.
Uh-huh.
So when I'm at like a lesbian bar, I'll really dial it up. Like,
dial it up.
Blazer and
to get like free I, drinks.
To
blazer?
Get free anything.
Not like a lumberjack style.
No, I won't go that Viking.
That's really taking it to
right.
another level.
I'm androgynous at best.
Okay.
So it's like not too far from this, but just a little more.
Right. Man, we're going to come.
We're learning.
I hope we have another segment.
Yeah,
right?
We got one segment. Yeah. Yeah. We learned so many words today. You're listening to Dominic Talk Comedy, WSRadio.com, World Radio Talk.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, we are back. Final segment already.
Yeah, it's gone too fast.
Yeah.
There's so much info that we've been learning.
I know.
Most informative podcast we've had this year, I think.
Definitely.
Exciting.
About the lifestyle.
Yeah. You got to learn the lifestyle. We were talking in the break about how that is the thing that we find compelling the most about doing the podcast is getting to know the comic so that you kind of see where the act came from.
Right.
Get to know that person.
Yeah, especially, I mean, we have, what, 600 comedians in the comedians page.
Yeah.
How many do you know anything about them? So the main reason I do the podcast for two reasons. One, because when I first started comedy, there was nothing that really told you what to expect when you started comedy.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to find a book of what to expect with open mics. Because, you know, when you first start, you're like, I'm going to get funny, and then I'm going to be on TV, and things are going to happen.
Right.
And now 6 years later, and here I am, you know.
Yeah, who's telling me they said that they saw someone come to the ACC for the first time ever, and he had a photographer, and he was trying to sign autographs, and, like, film, like he had all this stuff. This guy with a nickname and the whole thing.
Wow.
And he had merch. It was his first time. Yeah.
Ever doing comedy?
Yeah, and he bombed, and then he tried to sign autographs afterwards. I forget who was telling me this. I think Ula was telling me the story.
Well, there was a young kid that took Sandy Shore's class, like, multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, like, 14, and he had a website and a T-shirt. But his dad was super rich.
Right.
So this person was probably had wealthy people in their lives.
And that man was Zach Miller.
Yeah. No. So, yeah, and then the other reason is to get to know people and have the scene get to know, you
yeah.
know, because how many people know... You know Jaleesa.
I have, or like,
no.
one friend.
Because you keep quitting on them.
Well, that's also true. Really bad friend. I'm great while I'm here.
So you have the show tomorrow, that fan show,
yes.
And that's at Lestat's?
Dragon's Den.
Dragon's Den.
Yeah, that's
never,
downtown.
Never been there
Me either,
Dragon's Den.
Been but, there to eat once.
It's a restaurant.
Yeah, Chip used to do a show on Tuesdays. I'm not
that's
sure.
Oh, wait,
heard.
No, I did do that show.
Did
I did the first one. That I did that show. Yeah, I don't think I did very well, but it was pretty, I think it was good though.
It was nice.
Mean, everyone else did pretty well.
All their shows are like, they're sold out, right?
Yeah.
Sushi place. And it was good.
Because of his seminar.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
But I mean.
Did he take over that show from Chip? Is that what happened?
I don't know, because he does it Friday through Sunday, and I just heard that Chip had a show there.
Oh, okay.
And you said Tuesday, right, Jeff?
Yeah, I haven't seen him do it in a few months though.
Hmm.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if he's still doing it, but yeah.
All right, that's cool. So that's at 8 o'clock tomorrow, Dragon's Den.
6:30 actually.
What does it cost to get
early
into that?
One. $10.
$10.
But it's sold out.
It's sold out.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So how much time are you doing? Do you know?
8 to 9 minutes.
You gotta host it, or what are you doing?
No, I'm just gonna perform.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Do you know what you're gonna do?
No, I'm gonna practice tonight. I always wait till the last minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, what's your? Do you have to be clean at his shows?
Yes.
You
so
do.
That's the challenge.
Okay.
But I know I can do it. It's just a matter of pushing myself.
You work clean sometimes anyway?
Yeah.
Not super blue all the time?
No, I mean, I've had my moments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have a message in your act now that you've sort of watched Leo Flowers do that? Are
Not
you trying to formulate an overall message?
I wish I had it, but
yeah.
I feel like it's so hard to do it when I'm like a year and a couple of months in.
Yeah.
Like I really thought I would be here by now, or, you know, like at a place where I had a voice, but
yeah.
I'm probably nowhere near it.
Somebody explained comedy to me that, you know, we're talking about Leo Flowers and like making people laugh at something that's generally offensive or whatever, that they're, the key to comedy is like slipping that stuff in and making people laugh at things that they didn't expect to laugh at.
Mm-hmm.
So they laugh before they realize they're offended or something. You know what I mean?
It all depends on the type of crowd too. Like,
yeah.
Last night, like I started off kind of like smarter material And then I did like a couple of dirty jokes and they went over really well.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, all right, we got to give them this crap, you know?
Yeah.
So it's, the crowd, yeah.
Yeah, it's all funny, you know, but doing the stats, you got to be clean. So
right.
It's like I go from doing a completely clean set and then 3 days later trying to do my dirties with their.
Yeah. Well, stats is a very young audience. And someone had said to me that, when you have an audience that's that young, you have to realize that it's all about them, that they want you to talk to them about them.
Yeah.
Because that generation is very much different than a little bit older generation.
That's a good point.
Being raised with cell phones and Facebook and this more sort of inherently narcissistic upbringing.
Right. Yeah.
Makes that comedy audience different. So when you approach them as a performer, you have to gear it directly to them in their youthful way.
Crowd work would be great for that.
Right. Crowd work or just really being in tune with what that young crowd wants, you know?
Yeah, because what's his name? Zoltan? You know who Zoltan is?
Zoltan Kazas?
Yes. He just started to book a bunch of colleges. And at this point, I'm not sure if I would do well. You know, I did the college. You know,
act, too, has become much older. Like, he was a young comic. Now he's got an older act that's about being in a relationship and wanting to stay in and, you know.
I would appreciate that as a college student.
You would?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think he's fantastic, so he probably would make it work.
He said he's doing a lot of crowd work in the area, you know, because they are smaller venues. So, you know, but I remember when we did San Diego or whatever college we did, it was tough because they're so much younger and you got to relate to them.
Right. So. Yeah. Bob and I and Danger Stick, I think, did a SCSU show and they were really young. It was very difficult. It's very different. You know what I mean? They're so ready to tune out and just look at their phone, like immediately. You know, if you don't do a little crowd work, I find like you tell one joke and then you have to talk to them. Then you tell another joke and then you talk to them. It's like you have to keep resetting their attention.
Interesting.
You know? Yeah. Whereas old people, you know, it's
old
different.
People.
They just sit there. And sometimes that's worse because if they're really, really old, then they might not react at all. And afterwards they'll be like, that was so funny. And I'm like, you didn't move or make an audible noise the entire time or even smile necessarily. And they're like, but it was good. And I'm like, I need something.
A lot of times
that still counts.
They'll just say, that's funny.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know,
right. That was a clever observation.
Well, we are coming up towards the end. So what in your short comedy career, what is the worst show you've done so far?
The worst show. I'd also like to know the worst job. So if you could tell me both of those.
Okay. Worst. Show was in Houston during Laughtown's Funniest 2014.
Is that a festival?
It was just a contest.
Okay.
Yeah. And this was when I really saw the little clicky group. Like,
Are you in the Madhouse contest out here, by the way?
No, not this year.
You're not in it.
No.
You're going to do it next year?
Yeah.
Okay.
I plan to. So I just totally bombed on my own, like doing. I didn't practice enough.
Was there a crowd?
There was a crowd. And so it was partially me sucking and partially me not feeling comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So that was pretty bad. But worst job, I'd say, was being a canvasser for LGBT organizations. Yeah.
Canvasser, so we were passing out flyers?
Exactly, yeah.
And that was the worst? Why? Because of the constant interaction with human beings?
No, I love interacting. I hate, I can't even say I hate bullshitting people because I love that sometimes. But I feel like just so blatantly, like, saying, hey, care about my issues while you're running your errands. It's just really.
That's like, you like sat outside a store or something?
Yeah, and it sucked because they hated us there. And I'm like, I hate being here. It's just not a good way to make.
And you were handing out flyers that were for a fundraiser or for just drawing attention to the
For our projects. We were always asking for money.
Maybe if you had also handed them a dental dam with that.
Yeah. We were doing different causes, though. We, straight away from the sexuality, we were talking about, kids being bullied in school. And I'm like, how is this petition? They wanted to, change legislation. I don't think, I don't know. We were asking for money to basically fund us standing out there. We're somehow trying to make change
if they give us money, I have to stay out here.
Yeah, and how are we, our petition, anybody can sign a petition. We don't need money to do that.
Right.
But that's what they were asking
for. So you really hated it because you felt bad about
it was total crap.
Yeah.
Not even remotely appealing.
How long did you last?
6 months.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
The hours, you know, I could sleep and so forth.
What's the best show you've had?
Best show, I should know this. Comedy Heights.
Okay.
My material wasn't as good as I think it is now, but it was a great crowd and I felt really comfortable. I think comfort is my biggest.
Yeah. I think that's a great show. We've had great shows at the Comedy welcoming. Heights with Maria Herman and those guys.
They do it every week.
Very small room. They pack it full of people, and it's really great.
Loyal crowd, too.
Really test your audience because you get kids to old people.
That's true.
You get all
walks
of life.
You can't be super dirty, but when it works, it's really fun.
Yeah. He loved my dirty jokes because back then I thought clean was like, don't say the word, but my like content was still very sexual and like lots of weed jokes, and they loved it. Like, people were like, super old and cracking up.
That's great.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That's good. So people can catch you tomorrow. Where else can they catch you?
I will be at Comedy Cluster on Monday.
You got a Twitter?
I do. It's Tweet Jaleesa.
Tweet Jaleesa.
Yeah.
And then Facebook?
Facebook is Jaleesa J. Comedy.
Instagram?
Instagram, Jaleesa Johnson Comedy. They're not consistent.
That's okay. Mine isn't either. I fucked that up too.
Yeah. Usually if you can like find one, you can connect with it.
Thank you so much for doing the show. It's been great.
We had fun. Listen to WSRadio.com. We'll be in a talk. We'll be back in.